You're hearing Echoes, and I'm John DiLiberto. Back in the 1970s, a new music style emerged out of 1960s psychedelic rock music. It's been variously called art rock or classical rock, but has generally come to be known as progressive rock. Groups like Yes, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, King Crimson, and Genesis were harbingers of a new music style fueled by virtuoso playing, complicated time signatures, orchestral cadences, and epic compositions, often spanning entire albums. The glory days of progressive rock passed nearly three decades ago, but a new resurgence is happening. Every year in July, Nearfest, the Northeast Art Rock Festival, takes place. This year it was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, with groups like PFM, IQ, and Italy's Le Orme, their band that first recorded in 1967. Conventional wisdom says that progressive rock died in 1976 when the first Ramones album came out, and was buried in 1977 with the release of Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty widespread thought. Obviously, it wasn't killed, but I think it was severely wounded.
That's Chad Hutchinson. He was only in grade school in 1977, but he knows his progressive rock history.
When the punk thing hit and just took the whole progressive rock thing down, it got really quiet in the 80s.
It got quiet, except for people like Chad Hutchinson. During the 1980s, he was seduced by the grandeur of progressive rock, and for the last 6 years, Hutchinson, along with co-founder Rob LaDuca, has run Nearfest, the Northeast Art Rock Festival. If progressive rock is dead, someone forgot to inform the 1,000 fans who packed Zollner Auditorium in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for 3 days this past July.
This year we sold out in 30 minutes. Yeah, we're only 1,000 seats, but that's crazy.
Nearfest mixed 1970s progressive rock legends like Italy's PFM and Le Orme with newer, younger disciples and bands like Wobbler. The progressive rock community is as disaffected as any. To a person, everyone you talk to at the festival will lament the state of contemporary music and radio. Gary Davis runs the ArtistShop.com mail order site in Ohio.
The radio industry is pretty much become what the music industry has become. It's, you know, it's all super homogenized. And even if you, you know, drive from one end of the country to the next, maybe you have to change the station all the time, but you're still hearing the same stuff.
Talk with any person at Nearfest and they'll tell you that what's missing from music and radio today is what they find appealing in progressive rock.
I guess I've always liked the complexity. The shifting time changes always got to me. The virtuosity of the musicians.
I like the fact that it makes me think.
I think it's music that's both visceral and cerebral at the same time.
Aficionados of progressive rock talk about the music they love in different terms than most music fans, which makes them ripe for parodies like this in the 1980 film The Return of the Secaucus 7.
So listen, what kind of music do you like?
Oh, progressive rock mostly.
Which is that?
Oh, King Crimson, Yes, Genesis, Rush.
Right, right. Heavy metal goes to college. Just kidding. It's a joke.
Despite being the butt of jokes, progressive rock did expand music horizons and aspire to classical dimensions in form and sound. Italy's Premiata Funeraria Marconi, better known as PFM, came to renown in the 1970s with their epic work stretching up to 12 minutes. PFM drummer Franz DiCiaccio.
Progressive music has a lot of songs that is 7 minutes, 10 minutes. Try to be longer as possible, because there is a sort of escape for the musician playing. That's the difference between the music was before progressive and progressive music.
Paul Sears is the drummer for The Muffins. Besides the music, he says there is one sure sign you're at a progressive rock concert.
That's how you tell it's a progressive show, is that the men's room has the line.
That makes it easy to get into the bathroom.
Yeah, that's the only reason we're here.
Yes, really. We like concerts, but we don't have to wait in line.
Linda is one of the few women at Nearfest who is not being dragged by a husband or boyfriend. It's a sea of testosterone at the festival, as it has been at every progressive concert since the glory days. Roger Dean is a famous artist identified with progressive rock. His covers include most of those for the group Yes.
Yes used to bemoan the fact that there weren't so many young girls in their audience as they quite like.
According to Pierre Chevalier, the 32-year-old keyboardist with the Belgian group Présent, that hasn't changed.
That's indeed a real problem. We suffer from that. That's cruel. That's hard.
PFM's bassist, Patrick Givas, thinks he knows why.
They don't care about music. They don't go there to listen to the music. They go there because the guy of Duran Duran is good-looking, or because they want to scream there or whatever, you know?
Givas digs himself even deeper in that hole, and bassist Billy Swan from The Muffins jumps in with him.
I think men are more adventurous than women. How about that?
The Muffins saxophonist, Tom Scott.
Maybe that's why prog rock died. Any species without women dies off.
The internet has no gender, and cyberspace seems to be where progressive rock has been reborn. Nearfest founder Chad Hutchinson.
It's really built a following on the web. Without the web, I don't think this genre would be where it is now. These festivals probably wouldn't be doing as well as they are without the internet.
That's how this festival goer gets her progressive music.
It's pretty much on the internet and nowhere else.
After a 17-year hiatus, the Muffins reformed in 1998 when fan interest in their brand of avant-jazz prog became evident on the web.
I didn't really hear much about any progressive music from the mid-80s to about to the early 90s. But then when the World Wide Web came out, I started reading lots of information about the Muffins on the internet, and it was everywhere, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages and articles and news groups.
Trawlers of the web would have found this definition of progressive rock on the Ghostland.com site run by Chad Hutchinson.
Progressive rock is a style of music that combines classical music's sense of space and monumental scope with rock's raw power and energy. Arrangements are typically complex, dynamic, and multidimensional, usually featuring intricate keyboard and guitar playing.
That description wouldn't work for one Nearfest performer. Steve Roach was influenced by progressive rock, but took one element from it, the long washes of sound and atmosphere made from synthesizers and mellotrons, and flew in a completely different direction.
I was listening to Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Genesis and the Italian, German, French bands of that time, Clear Light and PFM, you know, at that time. And I mean, there's that quality, again, that I wanted to sustain and expand out into hour-long passages.
Steve Roach was the biggest departure at Nearfest, a solo artist playing layered, textural synthesizer compositions, as opposed to the overt virtuosity of the more conventional bands. Chad Hutchinson says that's part of the Nearfest strategy and mission.
We're trying to bring in everybody and say, you know what, there's this huge umbrella of progressive rock that's out there, and it touches these guys out here, and it touches these guys way over here, and there are fans of each of these genres out there.
While Nearfest isn't the oldest or only progressive rock festival in the world, they have become one of the most successful. In addition to the festival, they also release live recordings of performances there. You can get more information about Nearfest on their site, nearfest.com. With new bands like Mars Volta and Porcupine Tree reaching the upper levels of Billboard's charts recently, progressive rock may be enjoying a renaissance, although for many fans, it never went away.